Luke 14 through 15, 24. The parable of the great dinner. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" The word of God.
For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning. Glad you're here. And it's good to be together in this time of worship together. I want to talk today about Christian hospitality. What does that mean? What does it mean when we talk about God's welcome and how we welcome others, how we find welcome and hospitality in each other? I think you would agree with me that hospitality is really a basic experience of human life, right? We all experience that in different ways. Start thinking about some of the ways that you have experienced hospitality, the ways that you experience welcome in your lives. Maybe, you know, home and family, right? Maybe out in the community, businesses, neighbors. How about with strangers, even enemies? Have you ever experienced hospitality in those ways? I think 21st century gets a rather mixed review when it comes to hospitality and welcome. In some ways, we're good at it here, and in other ways, not so good. You think of restaurants and hotels, they do a pretty good job, you know. What about Disney World, Disneyland? You know, they're kind of in the hospitality business, right? Their livelihood depends on how well they serve others. On the other hand, I think we've all been in those places, maybe those places offering us services, taking our money when we felt like we were bothering them for being there. As the saying goes, you know, service with a smile can be subject to availability, right? Yeah. But hospitality goes deeper than mere manners and courtesy. You know, it's more than what Martha Stewart can whip up in her kitchen or with a, you know, pair of scissors and a hot glue gun, right? It goes deeper than that. True hospitality always has an element of risk to it. An element of risk, because it calls us out of our comfort zone and into a space where we're required to trust a little bit, that we just might find what it is we're looking for, that deeper relationship we're looking for. And of course, when you talk about risk that way, you realize that there is always the chance that you'll get hurt, right? Because hospitality is a matter of the heart. And when there's matters of the heart involved, there's always a chance to be hurt. Peel back a layer from that, and you also will find that fear is another one of those things that kind of trips us up when it comes to how we welcome others or find ourselves welcome. There's a lot of fear of the other in our world today, those we don't know, those who are different than us. And it's easy to give into that fear and not risk relationship. Where do you see that happening in our world? Where have you experienced that happening? Even so, I believe that people are just as capable of great hospitality as they are of great fear. And that hospitality is just as contagious and even more powerful powerful when it comes to righting wrongs and when it comes to creating a healthy community and safe community. Hospitality is powerful, powerful stuff. It's also, my friends, at the heart of our Christian teaching. In the Bible study, the book study that I've been doing on Wednesday evening, we've been talking about that. And here's a couple definitions that we've used to guide our way. You find these in your bulletin if you want to look at them later. Hospitality is more than just home dinner parties and what hotels and restaurants offer paid guests. For Christians, hospitality is a spiritual issue. God welcoming us is our model for welcoming others. And because of that, sometimes hospitality isn't comfortable, and sometimes it is risky. Teacher Amy Oden, who wrote the book we're using, says, "Gospel hospitality is God's welcome, a welcome that's deep and wide. Gospel hospitality is God's welcome," listen to this, "into a new way of seeing and living." Ultimately, gospel hospitality is God's welcome into abundant life, God's very life, God's own life. Wow. Now, what we say is that God's hospitality is most fully expressed, completely understood in Jesus, because in him we see that welcome of God is offered to everyone freely, offered unconditionally, seeks no repayment, takes the risk of being rejected, and instead comes as invitation, as calling and grace, comes as forgiveness and love. A call to a new way of seeing and living, a call to abundant life, as Jesus said. I wonder, friends, how have you experienced God's welcome in your life? How have you experienced that recently or over the years? How has that come to you? How did it touch you, maybe change you, how you view yourself and others, even understand God? How would you experience God's welcome? Well, we know that not only is this hospitality of this welcome of God the heart of Christian teaching, but it is the heart of our practice. It is the heart of our life as well, ever since Jesus offered it to those first disciples, right, a long time ago. He was very clear, when we welcome others, we welcome him. And when we do that, we welcome the one who sent him. That's his language. Think about how it happened back then. You know, in ancient Palestine, there was a very clear code of welcome. The land was harsh. It was unforgiving. Travelers were dependent on the hospitality of others. Safe passage, shelter, food, water for the throat. And speaking of that, I'm going to take a little sip. Water for dry, dirty feet. Oil for dry skin, right? Those were the rules of the road that day. Think about some of the teachings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. We hear Paul telling the house churches, some of those that he started himself, accept each other as family. Even though you come from different social backgrounds, have different status, have different ethnicities, break bread together, worship together. His word to the church was, be deeply spirited friends. And you know what? Nothing in that day broke down the walls of hospitality like table fellowship. You know, in that day, it was basically two ways to be part of a group. One was to be born into it, and the other was to eat together, to share a meal together. When you shared a meal with someone, you were like family with them. See, the church has been founded on these core beliefs, these practices, all saying Christ has broken down the walls of division between us, made us one family in Christ. We say baptism is our sign of this belonging to God in each other. It's the mark of this new way we live together. And what that means, my friends, is that hospitality isn't just something we do on Sunday morning or in the comfort of our dining room. It's our life. It's our life. We love because God first loved us. We welcome because Christ has welcomed us. That's risky, though. It's always been risky. It was risky for Jesus, wasn't it? He wound up on the cross for his brand of hospitality. It's risky for us today. I mean, here's what I mean by that. Not all are comfortable with who you will welcome. Not all approve of whom you will welcome. The 4th century church father, Gregory of Nyssa, talked about risk with his congregation. He said, "My friends, the stranger, those who are naked, those without food, the infirmed in prison, you know what? These are the ones the gospel intends for you." Well, my friends, those brothers and sisters are the ones the gospel still intends for us to welcome. But here's my question for you today. What's the new risk? Who should we be adding to that list of family? Who's the outsider that needs to be welcomed inside? Who's at risk of being left out today? I imagine in your mind, answers are probably swimming around, aren't they? There are a lot of good answers to that question. But you know, the one that I think is most on our minds, maybe most concerning to us today, is the answer that our general conference just gave when they met for a special called session in St. Louis, Missouri. And it upheld our denomination's inhospitable language toward persons who are gay, toward our LGBTQAI neighbors. Upheld that inhospitable language. And this is heartbreaking. This is heartbreaking for many reasons. Even if you're not all on the same page, you realize this is heartbreaking because what we're talking about here are baptized children of God in many ways, in many cases, right? People grown up in the church, people who have given their life to the church, came to Christ in the church, being told, you don't belong here. You don't have a place, a full place at this table. It's heartbreaking. And it's frustrating too, but I'm not going to go down that road too far today. But it's frustrating because there was a plan on the table that would have allowed churches and conferences to live out their ministry according to their conscience and their context, still be connected and united with other United Methodists, but that wasn't enough for those who insisted on conformity to their interpretation of Christian life, of Scripture. Well, we're going to talk a little more about what all that means next Sunday. We wanted to give a couple weeks, a week and a half time here so we could learn some new things. And after the 11 o'clock worship, we're going to have an all-church meeting here, and hopefully we can tell you what more of what has happened and what it means for the denomination, for our church here at Central. It will be on Facebook, so you can watch if you're not able to be here. But in the meantime, friends, I want you to know that no knee-jerk reaction is required. There's no need to worry that our ministry is somehow in jeopardy here or is going to change. Central Church is going to keep being Central Church, my friends. We're going to work through this process together, I promise you. One of the signs of hope that I heard coming out of General Conference was a group of young adults who pulled together a petition for the conference, the signatures of 15,500 young adults. Not all of the same mind, but young adults who said, we don't want to break apart. We want to continue to be United Methodists together. We want to work through this together. What a powerful thing. What a powerful thing. Well, I think the gospel reading today offers a great vision of working together and what that looks like for the future. A great vision of going forward. Vision of God's welcome, what it's like, what our welcome others looks like, what the future of the church can look like. Now, you know Jesus, he was big on including everybody, right? That was his way. That doesn't mean he was light on sin or that he offered cheap grace. He challenged quite a few folks who wanted an easy way into the kingdom of God. However, my reading of Jesus is that he believed, he demonstrated that God's welcome, God's acceptance was enough to bring us into a new way of seeing and a new way of living, enough to bring us into abundant life. That God's welcome has this power, here it is again, the power to change hearts and lives, the power to help us love neighbors, even enemies, as Jesus advised, the power to risk. But that wasn't enough for those in Jesus' day. Here Jesus is, he's having Sunday dinner with some of the religious leaders of the day. He's sitting down with the clergy, you might say. He notices that everybody seems to be preoccupied with what the rules are and what the protocol, how it should be followed, who should be there, where they should sit. And then much to their chagrin, a man wanders in who needs healing, and Jesus heals him right in front of them. And then he begins to confront this preoccupation they have with who gets seated where. And he turns it around to the question of, you know, you ought to be thinking about who gets invited in the first place. And then he spells it out for them. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind, those who cannot repay you. Don't worry. Don't exalt yourself. Humble yourself. You'll be exalted. And then he tells a parable we just heard about such a banquet where those on the guest list all of a sudden have more important things to do, things that are holding them back, and they offer a bunch of lame excuses. Well, getting married is probably not a lame excuse, right? But I would say you could invite your spouse to come to the wedding feast, right? They should have done that. But anyways, the host is frustrated and says to the servant, in essence, my hospitality, my food isn't going to go to waste. Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind. And in other words, those maybe seen as unwelcomed and unworthy. Now, one way to read this story is to see it as a vision of the end time. That's part of our gospel. What's going to come? The great heavenly banquet. But you know what? It can also be heard, and I think Luke intends it to be heard as pointed toward those who did the inviting at that dinner. A message that is meant to say, this is what God's hospitality looks like in this life, in this world. I wonder, friends, were those who came given the full meal, or maybe just a snack? Were they allowed to use the silverware and the tablecloths? Did they get the best wine, or were they given the cheap wine that's always saved for the last? Was somebody at the door seeing if they passed some holiness test for admittance? Where'd you come from? Where's your background? Who do you share your time with? No. I got the full meal, but I got the full meal. Jesus was a welcomer. His welcome saved everyone who received it. He knew hospitality was a blessing both to host and to guest. That informs the heart of who we are. Listen to that. Hospitality shapes our hearts like nothing else. I think Jesus understood that. So may God's welcome to us this day cause our own hearts to be strangely warmed. And may that warmth overflow toward those who need to hear God's welcome the most in our lives, in our world this week. Amen.